chest and heart. There is no pain in the chest or heart. God is the only action. God is spirit. Spirit is flawless. Spirit is transparent. And spirit is therefore reflection. Man reflects the flawless nature of spirit with every thought, speech, and action that are of the quality of this perfect spirit. Mind includes action. The only action there can be is perfect action. God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. God is the only cause and creator. Looking at the definition of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love separately, mind represents omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, omniaction. On page 587 of the glossary, under the definition of good, Mary Baker Eddy defines it as being God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. She defines omniscience as being all intelligence, all wisdom, and all knowing. In fact, she uses the word omni, which means that it is the one and only intelligence, the one and only wisdom, and the one and only knowing. Therefore, the only thing we can know about anything that is created, the only creation that can exist, is the creation of its source. Because everything created is a manifestation of its source. The Bible in Genesis 1 states, in the beginning, and then it tells us the seven primary things that God created. And Mary Baker Eddy explains that in the beginning, properly translated, means in the only. Mary Baker Eddy defines substance as being spirit. In other words, there is no substance except the substance of spirit. Therefore, the entire creation that has always been in existence, as she defines it as being in the only, is of the substance of spirit, because it is the only substance that exists. And since it is flawless, there certainly cannot be anything that is out of order. There cannot be any conflict, any friction, any chaos, any deviation from perfection. The fact that God is all-knowing and God manifests that all-knowing in man, then as a reflection of God, being an individual manifestation of man, we know what we need to know about the truth of being. That includes knowing that man's chest and man's heart are perfect because they are of the substance of spirit. We are not individually or collectively the manifestation of anything that is unlike God. Everything is identified through the quality of soul. And soul is defined as sense. And since spirit is the only substance, then the only sense is spiritual sense. So all seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling is spiritual. Spiritual seeing is directly controlled and is a function of God. Mary Baker Eddy defines God on page 587 as the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Then she gives the seven synonymous terms in a little bit different order than stated on 465, which is the page where the definition of God was given a few minutes ago. It provides the seven synonymous terms in this order: principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love. And then she ends with all substance, intelligence. That appears to be her way of giving us extra emphasis on those two particular qualities, even though they are included in the previous seven qualities. Substance, as noted before, is a part of spirit, and intelligence is a part of omniscience, which is a part of mind. When one thinks of seeing from a perfect viewpoint of God doing the seeing, everything is identified by utilizing the function of soul, which is spiritual sense. And if we think about the qualities of seeing or vision, that means spiritual perception. That means we need to filter what we are viewing to make sure that we are only looking through the lens of spirit and seeing it from a spiritual standpoint. If we do that, we will only see what Mary Baker Eddy cultivated in her multiple times a day prayer, which was good and goodness and perfection. She stated that she stops what she's doing several times a day to pray, to clear her thought, to make sure that she is not giving way to any form of anything that is in conflict with seeing perfection. When Bliss Knapp accompanied his father to visit Mary Baker Eddy at her home in Concord, Bliss was only a young boy, but Mary Baker Eddy gave him a fan while his father was in a private meeting with Mary Baker Eddy. He later learned that the fan was not only to cool his face, because it was a warm day apparently, but the fan was to be used as a symbol for separating spirit and matter, just as it states in Genesis in the second day of creation. On a July 4th event, where Mary Baker Eddy had some 2,000 people attending her home for a celebration of freedom and independence of America, she looked out on the audience from the balcony where she and Laura Sargent were positioned, as that is where Mary Baker Eddy was going to give a talk. Mary Baker Eddy made the statement that as she looked out over the crowd, she did not see a single Christian Scientist. She also relates a conversation that she had with an individual, asking him, what did he think or what did he do if he was walking along and saw a stray dog or some other event that was showing a lack of anything whatsoever to be interfering with perfection? He didn't know how to answer it. And so Mary Baker Eddy said, are you a Christian Scientist? And after thinking a moment, he said, no, Mrs. Eddy, I am not a Christian Scientist. So he realized what a Christian Scientist should be doing with their thinking and speech and action, but he missed the opportunity to pray without ceasing, and to recognize that anything that was not perfection that appeared in his thought had to be corrected. In other words, he had to use the fan and separate truth from error about whatever situation he was viewing. How about if we enter a grocery store or a shopping center? Sometimes there will be individuals that are in need that are standing around looking for a donation. Some of them may be very inhibited, such as being in a wheelchair or carrying a cane that a blind individual would carry to use in their walking. Or they could have any number of problems. One store that I frequent once or twice a month typically has a mother with her daughter, and her daughter is experiencing epilepsy. What do we do about it? Do we just toss them some money or hand it to them and then go on about what we were planning to do, shopping or whatever? Mary Baker Eddy went with Laura Sargent to order some chairs for the home. And when she arrived, she seemed to be silent and let Laura do all the talking. They were apparently meeting with the owner of the store. And after the meeting was over, Laura asked her, why were you silent and not involved in the conversation? And Mary Baker Eddy said, did you see that man? Did you realize that he was having a great need of healing? So she immediately shifted her thought from buying chairs to clearing her consciousness of anything that had been taken in, that was seeing that man something other than perfect. She had to make sure that she was seeing him as the perfect manifestation of God, that he was an individual manifestation of man, and therefore could not be experiencing anything that was imperfect. In all these items that are just mentioned, there is an opportunity for us to practice being a Christian Scientist by praying without ceasing. That doesn't mean that we would be making a verbal statement to whomever may be able to hear, but to be talking to our own thought, our own consciousness, so that we correct anything that is unlike God as one would be viewing the individual or the circumstance. It could be an accident. One could term that as an event or a circumstance. Are we treating that? Mary Baker Eddy states that we should not only be setting aside specific time a day for prayer, and she stated publicly to the world through news media that she prayed 3 times a day. Daniel did the same thing. He was thrown into the lion's den because he was caught praying to the real God instead of to the king. And they had made a rule for the purpose of catching Daniel to throw him into the den of lions, because they convinced the king to make a rule that no one is to be praying or worshiping anything except the king. Daniel risked his life to stick with what he knew to be the real God, and he prayed 3 times a day. Mary Baker Eddy stated that she stopped throughout the day several times just to make sure that her thought was not straying away from seeing only perfection in everything that she was involved in, any individual that she thought of, and so forth. That is being a Christian Scientist. Are we doing that? Are we following Mary Baker Eddy? Are we following Christ Jesus? As he was walking along the path, if he saw someone in need, he did not see them as someone in need, but he saw them as the perfect individual. For example, he didn't see a blind man one time when he walked by an individual that was blind. He saw the perfect man. The healing came about because of his viewpoint of that individual. When he saw a person that was claimed to be dead, he didn't see them to be dead, but only as sleeping that needed to be awakened. He awakened them, and as a result, they then expressed the normalcy of life. It is a sad thing to think about what Mary Baker Eddy said about those 2,000 people that visited her on that July 4th celebration. Are we part of the 2,000 that are not a Christian Scientist? Are we going to be the lighthouse where we are letting the light of God shine through us, and therefore letting the truth change the situation about whatever it is that we are seeing that is not perfect? Dr. Robert C. Putnam, who was a chemist, that was his PhD degree, wrote a book entitled 10 Bible Lessons. And that was a summary of research that he had done over some 30 years. It outlines the main features of all the primary Bible characters in both the Old and the New Testament. Obviously, the ninth Bible lesson, which is the first one about the New Testament, focuses on Christ Jesus. Even though there are many apostles and disciples that wrote about Christ Jesus, they were basically reiterating what they were taught by Christ Jesus, or what they should have learned as a result of what Jesus was trying to teach. And the 10th Bible lesson is about the second coming of the Christ. And as Mary Baker Eddy stated herself, the second coming of the Christ is really not about the reappearance of a man that was named Jesus, of which the Christianity world supposedly has been waiting for 2,000 years, but it is about divine science being revealed by Mary Baker Eddy to the world. That is the second coming of the Christ. It is the scientific explanation of how Jesus performed what was termed to be miracles. It was a scientific demonstration. It was not a miracle that only one individual could deliver to the world. And she proved that because she healed basically the same kinds of things that Christ Jesus healed. And there were other ones that did the same thing. Wentworth Winslow raised a boy from the dead. Bicknell Young brought himself back to life after he was claimed to be dead from drowning. Frederick L. Rawson apparently healed everything that you could think of in the way of an ailment. He even discovered how to heal retroactively, such that the healing took place as soon as he was contacted, even though he didn't have any evidence about the effect of it until some period later, because this was back in the 1910s and 1920s, and they didn't have the forms of communication that we have now, such as instant messenger, where you could instantly communicate with someone. And the phone service certainly was less than what we have available now. And there was no internet. There were no fax machines, which of course have been outdated for some time with these other forms of communication. So, overcoming what appears to be an event, and back in the days of Jesus' time was termed to be a miracle, have been proven not to be a miracle at all, but only scientific demonstration. Much the same as a mathematical calculation. If you know the science of math, then you can perform a mathematical calculation and come up with the same result as anyone else that knows the science of mathematics. The same with music. If you know the science of music, which involves mathematics, you can come up with the same result utilizing those principles of music, the laws of music, because music is a science. However, if you're thinking of something that is an art, such as a painter or even a medical practitioner, these are not science, but they are an art, because they are subject to individual interpretation in trying to bring about a solution or a product. Therefore, they are variable in nature, and a million different people doing the same thing could come up with a million different results, many of which could be failures. Dr. Albert Einstein stated that Christian Science works in bringing about healing if it is done in a scientific manner. He had a friend, Dr. Underwood, that was on the Atomic Energy Commission, and he was the only one out of the group that did research that survived the radiation that brought the demise to everyone else on the team but himself. And when Dr. Einstein realized what had occurred and inquired about it, Dr. Underwood flat out told him that he was healed through the effect of Christian Science, through the application of what Mary Baker Eddy had brought to the world as Christian Science, or the system of divine metaphysics, as she states on page 146. The statement from page 146 is at the top of every page on the website, and it states as follows. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Again, that's on page 146 of the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Mary Baker Eddy was able, because of her spiritual advancement, to be able to tell the thought of other people. And so when she looked out on that crowd of some 2,000 people on that July 4th celebration day, she apparently recognized that not a single one of them was paying attention to or practicing what was stated in those few words that were just reiterated. It is so important that we have it in the header, which means that it's on every single page of the website up at the top, which is probably where one's vision will be attracted to as soon as they go to any web page. That is the whole crux of Christian Science, to know that it is a system of divine metaphysics that anyone can practice, just like anyone can practice the laws and the application of mathematics or music to come up with a product that is totally in harmony with divine principle. If we experience a pain in our chest or what appears to be in our heart, should we be concerned? Should we be fearful? Or should we follow the system of divine metaphysics and apply it to the situation at hand? Do we want to depend on someone else to solve our problem? Or do we want to be able to solve it ourselves so that the solution can take place no matter where we are, what time of the day or the night, no matter what our skin color is, no matter what other circumstances may be trying to get our attention? Do we want to be able to take care of it on the spot? If we do, then we should be studying the system of divine metaphysics. We should be so familiar with it that we can implement it immediately. Error that goes untouched or ignored grows into a more complex and more dire circumstance as time passes. It must be nipped in the bud immediately. Mary Baker Eddy states that we must settle our accounts continuously and as soon as possible when we know there's a problem. Well, this is one of the most important accounts that we can settle, and that is when a problem occurs that we are directly involved in. In other words, anything unlike God. Any discord whatsoever. Any so-called dis-ease. A lifelong practitioner and friend of mine indicated what the true definition of body is. And she stated that it is everything in our thought. Not just the physical thing that is visible when we walk around with arms and legs and in our head and so forth, but it is everything about us. It is our business, our relationships, our family, a wife or a husband if we're married, our entire family, mother, father, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, every event we're involved in, all of this is our body. It is the containment of our consciousness. And that's what we need to give attention to. Everything. That is the way we pray without ceasing. We give attention to everything. And we do it ASAP. We don't wait until it's convenient. We don't wait until we may do a daily study the first thing in the morning or the last thing at night or on a coffee break or a lunch break or whatever that they provide if you're working in a company. And I don't mean a coffee break to drink coffee. I just mean that's what they normally call it. Any break of work time. Do we wait until then? Or do we separate ourselves from the crowd around us and go into the sanctuary of spirit and tend to it immediately? We can be sitting at our desk if we're working for someone else, or maybe go into the restroom or go outside for a walk. Whatever the case may be, there is an opportunity to be quiet and to tend to the need at hand. Mary Baker Eddy was sitting in front of the man that owned the store, apparently, and Laura Sargent. And she went into the sanctuary of spirit right there. And she let Laura and the man, the other individual in the meeting, take care of what they were there to do. But she saw something important to take care of right away. So she did it. If we see an accident, are we going to wait until we have a lunch break to tend to it? It could be the matter of life and death to the individuals involved in the accident. It doesn't matter whether it is a chest pain or whether it is any other number of so-called material or mortal mind suggestions to try to disrupt the balance that is provided by divine principle and the harmony or the ointment, the lubricant that is provided by love, which makes everything work smoothly. Anything at all that tries to upset the harmony of man as created by God, as stated in the first chapter of Genesis, anything at all, no matter what the name is, no matter what the circumstance is, must be attended to ASAP. We must nip it in the bud before it has an opportunity to go into full bloom of its deceptive nature of trying to disrupt God's creation, which is the only creation that is real. But we cannot experience that real creation unless we do our part. Genesis 1 states that we must let in all those 7 days of creation that are outlined in Genesis chapter 1 up through verse 3 of chapter 2, it prefaces what God does with the fact that man must let. So we must recognize that there is a need. We must open our door of consciousness. Just like Jesus said when he met one of the people, he says, "Do you have faith that I can do this?" They ask for him to heal them. And he said, "Do you have faith that I can do it, or that it can be done?" They had to let their consciousness be open to a change of base. The 10 lepers that he healed, only one of them recognized the truth. And that's the one that gave thanks. The others just went about their way. Probably said, "Oh, that's nice. It's great." And that's it. But one of them had a transformation of thought and gave credit to the truth as being the healer. If one wants to study about the system of divine metaphysics, there are several references that will be of great help. One of them is a book by Helen Wright entitled Your Divinity Revealed. I believe that was the final publication that she authored. And I believe she was around 100 years old, according to the Christian calendar, when she wrote that book. But it is the finest book that I believe that one can study to familiarize themselves with the primary seven synonymous terms for God. She has seven chapters in there that are directly addressing the seven synonymous terms. She points out how they are interconnected within their own synonymous term, and then it is easy to see how they can network with the other six synonymous terms. By that I mean intelligence is a part of mind. But do we want to use intelligence when we're living our life, which is another quality, life? Life is really expressing the qualities of God. Do we want to use intelligence when we do it? Do we want to have intelligent love when we're expressing love? Do we want to do anything in building a system or structure that is ignorant? That's the opposite of intelligence, for example. When we look at substance, do we want to look at matter as being the substantial thing that we're going to rely on as substance? Or do we want to rely on something that has an eternal life, which is spirit? And we can do this with all the seven terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. There are many treatments that are available on the website which go into detail about each of these seven synonymous terms, and also the operators. Math utilizes add, subtract, multiply, and divide. The system of divine metaphysics utilizes the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. In real brief terms, the Word means the facts about God. The Christ means, how do we translate whatever comes our way so that we can see the spiritual view of it and prepare our thought for healing? Christianity is the healing process. It is demonstrating what we know about God as the Word and how we are interpreting and translating it as the Christ. That means within our consciousness. And Christianity, of course, as I mentioned, is demonstrating it. And science has two different levels. One is the lowest level, which she explains on page 115 of Science and Health, which is depravity. And that's what it is when we first recognize that there is a problem. It's at the depravity level. And then we elevate it by working through the Word, Christ, and Christianity to bring it to the level of the divine, which is the absolute truth about God and man. So that, in short, is the operators of the system of divine metaphysics. Richard Strain, who ended up being a very successful Christian Scientist, had a real problem with his life, and he didn't know what to do about it. He asked a longtime friend who was a Christian Scientist. He says, "I don't know what to do." He says, "I'm just like at the end of my rope." And the first thing the individual asked him was, "How much are you studying?" He said, "Well, I don't have any time to study." He said, "By the time I get everything done in the day that I need to do," he says, "there's only 6 hours left, and so I sleep." She said, "Well, if that's what you're going to do, then you're probably not going to continue along any different line than where you are right now, which is hopeless." She said, "You must study 5 hours a day if you want to make progress." So he made the decision, apparently, right then, that he was going to do it, even if it meant he would only have 1 hour to sleep. He said, "Okay, I'm going to do it." By the end of the week, he had life-changing things take place so that he could get things done more quickly, and so that studying 5 hours a day didn't keep him from having a more normal schedule of sleep and rest. Are we going to be serious about the study of Christian Science? Mary Baker Eddy states that we are barraged constantly, all day long, with suggestions of limitation, mortal mind, matter, trying to make an impact upon our thought. Mary Baker Eddy begins Science and Health with three very important quotes. The first one is, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." The second one is from Shakespeare. And by the way, that first one is really words of Jesus that was reiterated by John. The second one is Shakespeare. Anyone that has had an education probably knows who Shakespeare is. But for Mary Baker Eddy to quote him at the beginning of Science and Health speaks well of her opinion of his words. She quotes as, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." And the third one is a quote from her, where she says, "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere." And it's noted that's from Mary Baker Eddy. Think about that for a moment. A book with 700 pages, and she begins with these three short, simple quotes. So number one, we have to start with the truth. And she states what the result will be. That we will be made free. Free of limitation. Free of the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. It reminds us of the scientific statement of being. There is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. And the second one tells us, okay, we're going to realize that there is a truth and that is effective because it's going to make us free, but we have to do something. And Shakespeare tells us that we better straighten out our thought, because he says nothing is either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. So what are we going to hold in consciousness? That is the key. There are many examples in this treatment of opportunities that we can all experience to be an alarm clock to wake us up that we need to do something about it. And what is the result? The third quote tells us that we're going to be blessed. We're not informing God of anything, because God is all-knowing, all-intelligence, all-wisdom. She says, are we going to inform this infinite mind of anything it doesn't already know? Right there, in three quotes, is basically a summary of Christian Science. That's why I believe she starts, even before the preface, in the text. This is her first text to introduce someone to what the textbook of Christian Science is going to tell you in 700 pages. And she puts it in a few words in three quotes. And she tells us on page 146, as noted, that there is a system where anyone can experience healing. The system of divine metaphysics. And Genesis 1 tells us that we must let it happen. Are we going to let it happen? Are we going to do our part and open the door of consciousness? One of the most important parts of the entire textbook is the glossary, chapter 17, where she gives us the spiritual definitions of many very, very key words. Are we going to study that? There are books written by advanced Christian Scientists just on that one chapter. We have the works, the writings of the most advanced Christian Scientists available. I mentioned Wentworth Winslow. I mentioned Frederick L. Rawson. Frederick L. Rawson had a healing where he was gazing out the window with Mr. Spaulding, a Christian Science friend. This was back in the 1910s, or maybe early 1920s, approximately 100 years ago. And the man had a load of rocks dumped on him accidentally, covered him up. Mr. Rawson saw the incident. Well, they both did, him and Mr. Spaulding, but Mr. Rawson is the one that went into action immediately. And he made one very simple statement, and obviously with understanding and conviction, and that was, there is nothing but God. And with that, the man jumped out from under the rocks, or through the rocks, totally unscathed. It was a non-event. The accident was a non-event. Totally healed, instantaneously. Remember, I mentioned that he was the one that discovered retroactive healing, where the healing took place at a time prior to the time that he was notified to give assistance, because he recognized that there should be no time limit. It doesn't matter if there is a so-called pain in the chest or any other thing that is ungodlike. It should be handled the same way as outlined in this treatment. There are idiosyncrasies where you fine-tune it. In fact, Mr. Rawson blessed us with a book called Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, and he analyzes 1,315 different ailments, giving not only what the claim is about the ailment in a few short words, but also the counterfact to work on to bring about a healing. Mary Baker Eddy says that we must discover what the error is, we must expose it, and we must reason with the counterfact to bring the healing. And he gives us the encyclopedia that lets us be our guide in doing each of those steps. We need to remember and refresh our thought often that nothing is impossible to God, and that God is the only thing there is, the only source, and therefore the only manifestation. And we are here on earth for one purpose and one purpose alone, to demonstrate that constantly in our individual lives. And of course, we will bring happiness to whomever our thought rests upon. And Mr. Rawson indicates that that's the most important thing we can do, is to make other people happy. And the only way we can do that with any kind of lasting value is to do it through spiritual means. Looking through the lens of spirit, no matter what the problem may be defined to be, that's the thought process that we need to do, is to put it through the lens of spirit. Use that fan, separating matter from spirit, so we can focus on spirit. God is all in all, and there is nothing but God. Amen.